Father, be lifted high above all, above every emotion, above every sickness, above every pain, above every pressure, above every name. Be lifted high above your city. Be lifted high above Cape Town, above this nation, Lord, above the whole world, Father. We lift your name high in this place, Lord. We lift your name high, Jesus, for there is no one that can be compared to you. We thank you, God, that we can call upon your name. Thank you that your word says your name is a mighty tower where the righteous found the refuge. Father, when we call upon your name, we are saved, Father. The word says that no other name was given to us by which we must be saved. But your name, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for your presence in this place. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here in this place, Father. Before we came into this venue, you were already here. Because you are omnipresent, Father. And this afternoon we respond to your presence. We respond to your calling. We respond to your grace. We say yes to whatever you want to do. We say yes to everything that you want to establish in every heart. We thank you for the warriors. We thank you for hearts that are back home, Lord. For your sons and daughters that you are raising up, to lift your name high, Lord. To witness, Lord. To declare your name. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. I'm just going to share with you about something that I really love. That is really one of the biggest part of my life. And I believe it has to be a bigger part of every believer. I'm going to be speaking about worship. Worship is really something that I really believe it's on God's heart from the beginning, even up to Revelation. If you look at the entire journey with God, of God with his people, it has always been about worship. If you look at the first offering that God really enjoyed, that God really approved, the offering of Abel, if you look at the entire offering, it was always a picture of worship. And I believe even the highest activity of angels in heaven is worship. The highest activity of every believer is worship. The highest activity of the church is worship. So worship is really one of the realities that we are called to walk in. When Jesus said, when you pray, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What happens in heaven 24/7 is worship. So the atmosphere of heaven is the atmosphere of worship. Therefore, the atmosphere in our hearts, the atmosphere in our lives, the atmosphere in every realm of life that we live in should be the atmosphere of worship. Because when we worship, we are actually bringing every focus to God. Because God is always, worship is always God-centered. Worship is always Christ-centered. You know, Lucifer, when he was removed from heaven, the main reason why he was removed is because he wanted worship. He wanted this focus to shift to him as well. He wanted to set up his throne. Because worship is about the throne. And the throne is about the glory, dominion, and authority. And he wanted to challenge God. Therefore, he was removed from heaven. Even when he came to tempt Jesus, the conversation he had with him was a conversation around worship. Because he understood that worship played a massive role in heaven and even in the realm of man. So I'm going to be sharing about worship. And at the end of this sermon, I really want to trust that the Lord shifts something in our hearts, that we learn to worship with authority. We shift from a place of just having my own time with Jesus to having our time with Jesus, into having a time where I can connect with God's purpose and God's agenda. You know, there is a time where every believer, we are called to have, it's called a secret moment with Christ. Christ said, when you want to pray, go to your inner, to the secret place, go to your room. There is a secret place where we have our devotion, we have our time with God. But I believe in the kingdom, there is something more to that. There is something more than that. Because there is a kingdom that needs to expand. That is why when we get saved, Christ does not just rapture us already straight to heaven. We are still alive because there is lives that need to be changed. There is cities that need to be impacted. There is lives that need to be transformed. And God has entrusted that big, great commission to us, His sons and daughters. So the title of my sermon is Anointed to Worship. Not just worshiping, but being anointed to worship. When we think of the anointing in the Old Testament, the anointing is basically just like we were about to pray and anoint people, applying the oil on people. In the Old Testament, it served on several roles, or it was used for several purposes. The anointing was also used as an act of hospitality when a guest would come, an act of honoring the guest. You find that picture in Psalm 23 when David says, "You set a table in front of my enemies and my cup overflows." You see as well, Jesus, when he went to Bethany, Mary used the ointment and anointed Jesus. It was an act of hospitality. But in terms of functions, in terms of authorities, the anointing was used to anoint prophets. To anoint, you will see many times in scriptures, God will say, "Do not touch my anointed ones. Do not touch my prophets." The anointing was used as well when there was an inauguration of kings. You will see Elisha, when Elisha went to anoint Jehu as king, he anointed him as king. You'll see Saul, before he became King Samuel, went to anoint him. And the Bible says when he anointed him, he sent him on a place where there were people playing worship, playing music, worshiping. Prophets, a gathering of prophets, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. When he went to anoint David, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. So the anointing oil was used to anoint kings. So there were several, even priests as well. The priests as well were anointed before they would function effectively in their offices. I'm sharing this so that we will kind of understand the authority that we are called to carry. We will understand why Christ has anointed each and every one of us. In fact, Christ means the anointed one, the Messiah. So when we follow him, his Spirit dwells on us. The Bible says, John says that I baptize you in water, but the one coming after me shall baptize you in spirit and in truth. So when I'm speaking about the anointing, I'm speaking about the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit. And Paul, in 1 Corinthians 12, speaks, he says that it is only by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, that one can say that Jesus Christ is Lord. So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of worship. In fact, Christ said, when the Holy Spirit will come upon you, he will glorify me. He will glorify the Father. If you look at the summary of the entire life of Jesus, when Jesus was praying, Jesus said, the time has come where the Father will be glorified through the Son. So Jesus lived his entire life to glorify the Father. But if you look at the entire life of Jesus, it was full on orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Holy Spirit spoke about his birth. Isaiah says, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. He shall be called Emmanuel." Prophesied about his coming. David as well prophesied even about his resurrection through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was involved in the birth of Jesus. Bible says, the angel says to him that you shall be overshadowed, said to Mary, shall be overshadowed with the power of the Holy Spirit and you shall conceive. In fact, as Jesus grew, the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. And as he started doing his ministry, before he started his ministry, as he was being baptized, the Bible says that the heaven was open, the Spirit of the Lord came like a dove. He was involved in his ministry. And after that, the Bible says the Spirit took him to the wilderness with the purpose to be tempted, to be tested. And right after that, you'll see scripture says that Jesus healed so many sick through the power of the Holy Spirit. And even on the cross, the Bible says that Jesus released his spirit. It was through the Holy Spirit that Jesus died and actually gave up his life through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus resurrected as well through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, if the same spirit that rose Christ from the dead lives inside of you, it shall revive your mortal bodies. And Jesus, when he ascended through the power of the Holy Spirit. And in fact, his last promise was the promise of the Holy Spirit. So the entire life of Christ was orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. And that's our standard of life. So if we are called to worship, if Jesus lived a life where he would actually do what he saw the Father doing, and that was only possible because of the Holy Spirit. So if we have to worship God in spirit and truth, it is very, very crucial that we engage with the person of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the anointer. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to heal the sick, to proclaim the good news." So everything we do in the kingdom, we are called to do everything by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit will come upon you. You will be my witnesses. So we effectively witness Christ through our worship, through everything we do, by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you cannot disconnect the Holy Spirit from worship, if you remove the Holy Spirit out of worship, you are having a religious activity. You are just having slavery. You are just having a strife. Because a man cannot understand the things of God. A natural man cannot receive the things of God. God is spirit. Therefore, those who worship him, they must worship him in spirit and in truth. The question is, before I even go further and develop, how do you receive the Holy Spirit? How do you receive the Holy Spirit? Because he is the one that anoints you. He is the one that commissions you to fulfill his purposes. Just like he would do with kings and prophets and priests. How do you receive the Holy Spirit? It's very simple. You have to give your life to Jesus. You have to have your willingness to commit your life to him. Because John Baptist said that I baptize you in water, but the one who comes after me shall baptize you in spirit and in fire. So that's the first door, because there is no way we can think of flowing with the Spirit of God until we've come to a place where we build our relationship with Christ. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. Just before I go any further, is anyone here? Is there anyone in this place that would like to receive the Holy Spirit? Just put your hand up. If you are here, you would like to receive the Holy Spirit from Christ Jesus. And in fact, if you would like to give your heart to Jesus, because he is the one who baptized in spirit and in truth. Because if I carry on, everything might sound vague and weird to you. But I want to encourage you. If you are here, you know that perhaps you've gone to church many times. Maybe you visited church many times. Maybe you even grew up in church. But you don't really know the person of the Holy Spirit. You know, Emily leads worship. I know about Emily, but I don't really know Emily. But Owen knows Emily. You know why? Because he has spent time with Emily. If Emily is uncomfortable with something, we might not pick up, but Owen will pick up because he has learned to even read how she reacts to things. He knows perhaps her favorite meal. He knows perhaps a lot of things about Emily because he has spent time with Emily. There is no way you can say you know Christ without having to interact with his Spirit. And you can't say you have the Holy Spirit and yet you don't really know Christ. You have never heard his voice. That is abnormal. That is turning Christ into a toy. That is turning Christ into some kind of statue. God is alive. We worship because God is alive. Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, "You guys are worshiping that which you do not know, but we worship the one that we know." That which we know. So I want to ask to be bold. So ask any one of you, if you are here, you know that you have not really given your life to Jesus. Maybe you've just gone to church. You've read your Bible. You've done the Christianese. But today, you really want to take a stand before Christ and say, "Here I am. I want to follow you. I want to know you. I want to worship you in spirit and in truth." Then I want to ask you where you are. Just to put your hands up, I'm going to pray for you from here. Just be bold. Don't feel shy. Don't feel embarrassed. Don't feel condemned. Thank you for your hand. Thank you. Thank you for your hands. I feel there is more. Just put your hands up. Don't feel shy. Thank you for that hands. Don't feel shy. I believe this evening God has an appointment with each and every one of us. The time of playing church is over. This is a time to really, really be with God. To really connect. Some people only pray when they're in trouble. Some people only worship when they're in trouble. The time of using God is over. We've been using God as a toy, as a machine, as an ATM. But today, I believe God is calling us to a place where we can truly worship in spirit and in truth. So you can just stand where you are. Just stand. Just stand where you are. Don't feel shy. Let's stand together with them. All right. All right, so we're just going to pray a prayer of commitment to Christ. Say, "Lord Jesus, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Today, I give my life to you. I give my heart to you. Be my Lord. Be my King. Father, I receive your grace. Your grace is enough for me. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your spirit in this place. In Jesus' name, amen." Thank you so much. You may sit. Well done for your boldness. Because when we commit your life to the Lord, what happens is that you are born again. That which is born again in you is actually your spirit man becomes alive before him. That's the place where worship is supposed to flow. A lot of times we worship from a place of feelings. A lot of times we worship from a cultural space. But worship is beyond feelings. You know, today even as musicians, we have a lot of songs that are birthed from a place of feelings. There's nothing wrong with our feelings, but I believe the primary place of worship is our spirit man. Because our spirit man operates from a place of faith. It wasn't cool being a Christian back then in the days of apostles. People used to be killed for preaching the gospel. It wasn't something cool. There was no goosebumps about it. The only joy they had was the fact that they knew that Christ was within them. And that they would, even if they would die, they would spend eternity with him. That was the joy they had. And I think we've lost a little bit of that. We've lost a little bit of that element. And that is a picture of worship. That's one of the pictures of worship. And in fact, the word worship often implies the idea of
bowing before him, an attitude that recognized the throne, being compelled with an attitude to give reverence or to prostrate. So there is always a physical movement. There is an engagement. You'll see God say, you shall love the Lord your God with all your mind, with all your soul, and your spirit. So worship is not passive. If you look at the first time, actually there was an act of worship. It's the offering of Abel and Cain. It was an actual offering where they brought sacrifices. You look at the tabernacle, which was the place where people brought sacrifices in act of worship. People would literally come with sacrifices. It was very practical. A lot of people today say they're worshiping, but they're worshiping inside. I believe worship is a testimony to the world, saying that there is a God who's alive. There is a God that we believe in. There is a God who's worthy to receive all the praise and honor. Everything we do, whether it's preaching, whether it's testifying, whether it's working, whether it's studying, as long as it is not rooted from a place of worshiping God, then everything we do is in vain. Everything we do has to do with worshiping God. So let's look at David, who was a man anointed by God to worship. You can just scroll through the slides. David was a very anointed man. I've already passed through there. Next slide. I've already passed there. Thanks, Shanice. Cool. This is God speaking about David. He said, I have found David, my servant. With my oil, I have anointed him, so that my hand shall be established with him. My arm shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not outwit him. The wicked shall not humble him. The next slide, please. I will crush his foes before him and strike down those who hate him. He shall cry to me, you are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. If you read through the entire Psalm 89, you'll see God making promises about David. God making almost like a statement about the calling of David. But if you look deeply, this scripture, it's a messianic scripture. It speaks about Christ. Also, David in the natural, back in the season, one of the things that God said is that he has found David. He has anointed him. It's very clear. Between David and God, who was the first one to make the step? God made the first step. God chose him. He anointed him because he chose him. David did not pray for God to choose him. God chose him by grace. Chose him by grace. And God makes promises of fighting for him. But there is only one thing that you'll notice in that scripture. Let's get back to those slides. In Psalm 89. Yes, you can speak. There is one thing that you'll notice from most of the things that God is saying. There's a lot of promises that God is making about fighting for him, delivering him, fighting his enemies. But there is one thing that God says about David speaking towards him. The Lord in 26, it says, he shall cry to me, you are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. I believe this is powerful. This is very powerful. Because the word Father is a very deep word. The Father speaks of a root, a foundation, source, something that produces, someone that produces something and sustains it. Bible says he sustains everything through the word of his power. A father is a protector. He's a provider. So David, throughout everything that what God was about to do with him, he had to have one reference. He had to have a reference about God. And the reference, one of the references, was God being his father. God being is God. And God being the rock of his salvation. This is very powerful. And why? Everything starts with God anointing him. So let's go to the next slide. And this is God now speaking. He says about David again through the book of Acts. It says, and when he had removed him, that speaks about Saul, he raised him up, David, to be the king in whom he testified. He said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. In other words, God had his will in mind. God had his plans. God had things that he wanted to fulfill. And he wanted those things to be fulfilled through the life of David. So the summary of David's life was about doing the will of God. And Jesus said, I came to do the will of my Father. So let's go to the next slide. We've read that already. And there is an instance that David was invited to go and sing when Saul was being disturbed by evil spirit. Remember, David was anointed. When David arrived there, you know what David did? David was playing his harp. And as David was playing his harp, Saul was experiencing deliverance. David was worshiping God. And God was intervening in the life of Saul. And the scripture says, whenever the spirit of God, from God that came on Saul, David would take up his lyre and play. Then relief would come to Saul. He would feel better and the evil spirit would leave him. So as David was playing and worshiping, Saul was being free physically, emotionally, and spiritually. In other words, your worship, my worship, our worship is a tool that God has given to us to set the captives free. So if we do not choose to worship God, we are bounding people, we are keeping people in chains. Therefore, we have to realize that worship has been given to us as well as a key, as a tool for the expansion of the kingdom. Now, on the next slide, in Psalm 67, it speaks about, it says, may the nations praise you, O God. May all the nations praise you. Then the earth will yield its harvest and God, our God, will richly bless us. When you look at that scripture, it speaks about three realms. There is a realm of God, the realm of man, and the earthly realm. So that particular song, that's the particular song of praise, has a potential of impacting these three realms. So when we worship God, we are actually reminded that there are realms in which we've been given authority, and there are actually realms that we've been given the mandate to minister to. And one of the privileges that we have is that we are able, through our worship, to have impact on the lives of people that we live with, the environment, the land in which we live. And we also have the privilege of actually worshiping God in the heavenly realm. And then I'm going to try to narrow everything down so that we can get to the ministry time. How do we capture the sound, the earthly realm? The earthly realm speaks about the land, actually where the people live in. The actual land, the ground, like the soil, the land. You'll see God saying, if my people who are called my name will repent, turn from their wicked ways, God says, I will heal the land. So it's very important for us to learn to capture actually the sound. You'll see in scriptures, many times the Bible says, those who trust in the Lord, they are like Mount Zion. You'll see many times there is a metaphoric picture of worship. There is some metaphors used in songs of worship in some psalms, which was in a way of giving back the land back to God. You'll see in the next slide, I wrote a song. It's called Highest Praises. And one of the things that we say on that song, it says, from the Cape Flats and the plain, the Durbanville Hill and the Table Bay, from the east to the west, from the south to the north, his blood speaks a better word. That's one of the ways to give back the land back to God. You will see the scripture says those who trust in the Lord, they're like a cedar of Lebanon. The cedar of Lebanon is a tree in Turkey. So it was a way of almost like giving back the land back to God. So therefore, worship is a key of responsibility for you and I. It's more than just having your own quiet time with Jesus. And secondly, the realm of the heavenly realm. How do we capture the sound of heaven? Primarily, the Bible speaks about the fivefold ministries, about the five gifts, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and all the five ministries. Bible speaks about them equipping the work, the saint for the work of ministry. So as we receive the word, the words are one of the ways through which God speaks. But you can also capture the song from heaven by revelation through prayer in meditation of God. There are things that the Spirit of God can stir in you, songs that can actually impact the environment. So as we sing, our worship on Sunday should be the sonification of that which God is saying and doing. We're not supposed just to choose songs on Sunday just because they have to be a set list. But we are supposed to sing song. The song that we sing of worship should be a sonification of that which God is doing. So that we are in perfect agreement with what God is doing. Because what's our purpose? To do all the will of God. So we have to sing it. We have to declare it. And then in the realm of man, people, as people, you know, in our culture was given as a vehicle of worship. And remember, everything we hear, when we sing, when you listen to songs, the songs have a lot of impact on your mind. They can get stuck in your memory. You may forget a sermon you've listened to 5 months ago, but you can remember a song you heard 20, maybe 10 years ago, 6 years ago. So when we worship, when our worship is spirit-led, guess what? We have an impact in terms of the way people think. So if we have to minister into the thinking mode of the people of Cape Town, therefore we have to release a song that has the impact of affecting the mind of people, bringing everything captive to the obedience of Christ. And also, our worship has an impact on the soul of people. You know, the soul is the emotional space of people. There are songs that brings joy. There are songs that bring sadness. There are songs that stirs up certain things. So because we have been anointed to worship, therefore we have grace to release healing even over people like David did. When he sang, soul was relieved. And spiritually, to the spirit, when we sing, for example, we worship here, we have then the authority to minister to the spiritual realm, where even if there is any territorial kind of spirit that made people captive, therefore, because this place become the place of God, then anything which is not in agreement will be displaced. That's the authority we have in worship. I totally agree that today God is raising warriors. God has come to tell each and every one of us, it is time to engage in worship. It is time for us to be an army of worshipers. It is time for us to be an army of worshipers. What is our focus? Not the enemy. What is our focus? Christ. As we focus on Christ, we're going to have victory. Remember Jehoshaphat? The Bible says, as they were worshipping, the Lord sent an ambush into the camps of the enemy. You may be struggling through certain things. You may be going through certain things. What is the key? Connect first with the Holy Spirit. Connect first with Christ. And when Christ anoints you with the Holy Spirit, that gives you the power and the authority to minister to the minds, to minister to every emotions, to minister to the lives of people, to minister with authority. God is calling us to worship with authority. God is calling you to worship with authority. The time of worshiping from a place of complaint and fear and complaints is over. This is a time of engaging with worship. You remember Paul and Silas, they were in a cell. As they were worshiping, there was literally a breakthrough in the natural, through worship. Through worship. I believe people can be saved as we worship. I believe people can be healed as we worship. I believe people can be set free as we worship. What is our focus? Christ. As we focus in Him, He will intervene. The anointing is always for a purpose. Christ said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? Because He has anointed me to heal the sick, to proclaim the good news. Had the other one? To set the captives free? And to declare a year of favor. Why? Because of the anointing. So let's stand. Let's stand. You know, there is no way the anointing will be efficient until you've come to a place of boldness like Christ, who say the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of people who did not believe in Him. He stood up and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to proclaim the good news. But this morning, this evening, we want to come from a place of boldness, declaring that the Spirit of the Lord is upon us because He has anointed us to worship. He has anointed us to worship in spirit and in truth. I believe one of the greatest key of breakthrough when it comes to spiritual warfare is worship. Because your greatest battle is not the battle against the enemy. It's your battle of your faith. It's the fight of your faith. Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. Emily, would you please be playing the keys? So I would like us to pray in the spirit. We're going to pray in tongues. We're going to engage with God. Because I believe God is releasing that freedom. A lot of times we come to church, we feel squeezed. We don't even feel free to lift our hands. Everything feels heavy because we haven't stepped into the freedom of the Spirit. The Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The time to be driven by the spirit of our culture is over, where we can actually allow the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, so that we can worship Him truly in spirit and in truth. We can truly manifest who He is. Let's close your eyes where you are. If you can pray in the spirit, let's pray in the spirit. And release our voices. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Feel free, even if you feel like a new song to the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. Release your voice, release everything. Let the rivers flow, let the rivers flow, let the rivers flow. It is for such time as this that Christ have anointed you to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Yes, Father, we'll worship You in this place. Your city shall worship You, not by might, not by power, but by Your Spirit. But by Your Spirit, Lord. By Your Spirit, Father. Hallelujah.